sing that second verse tonight. You know, when I was a little kid, my mom used to sing that song around the house. I didn't know what it meant then, but I sure do now. The Lord's been good to me, and the Lord's been good to some of y'all. I see some of you nodding your head and getting a blessing. I'm telling you, you don't have to feel cold chills going up down your back to rejoice about being saved, people. We're saved from hell. We're saved from hell. We ain't going to hell when we die. Woo! Glory to God. Don't ever get over that. You don't need to go no deeper than the rock. I wonder tonight, before they sing that second verse, somebody just stand up and say, I was born to serve the Lord. God's been good to me, and I want to just brag on Him tonight. Anybody, right quick, Lord's been especially good to you. Just pop up, pop off right quick. I was born to serve the Lord. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen, brother Tom. Yeah. Hallelujah. See that? Bible said God inhabits the praise of His people. If you'll praise Him, He'll show up in your life. Anybody else? Right quick. Just pop up, pop off for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never done it before. Go ahead, sister. Amen. Thank God. Another one right quick. Anybody? Right quick. Amen. Panene. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Right quick. Right quick. Brag on the Lord. Your change. Brag on the Lord. Alright. I tell you what. I tell you, the Lord's been good. Let's enjoy that second verse. Y'all go ahead. Hey.
My hands were made to help my neighbor. My eyes were made to read God's word. My feet were made to walk in His footsteps. Of the Lord.
Come on now,
I was made in His likeness, created in His image, for I was born to serve the Lord. That is why I can't deny
Amen. Well, our camp list is growing here, y'all. Lord mercy, we're going to have a crowd go, looks like. And so if you're not on here, you better get your John Henry right here. It's looking good, looking good. Amen. We're excited about youth camp. 2 weeks from tomorrow, 2 weeks from tomorrow, be headed out. And it'll be here before you know it. And so I encourage you to get signed up. Tell you what I want us to do tonight. Let's take our Bibles and turn to a verse, I believe, that I'm going to have you turn to a verse in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter number 9 this evening. And we're going to take just a quick look at this verse of Scripture. It won't be long at all, but you'll get something that will help you, especially the young people. All young people, won't you listen. The day we're living in, old people need it too. Isaiah chapter number 9. And I want you to look at a verse of Scripture here tonight that I want to give you a thought on. And I'm going to preach on tonight fire and sin. Fire and sin. Look at Isaiah 9 and verse 18. For wickedness burneth as the fire. Interesting that God compared sin to fire. It shall devour the briars and the thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened, and the people shall be as fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother. Now, back in verse 18, the Lord compared sin to fire. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to preach on fire and sin. Young people here tonight, sin in your life will do the same thing as fire. Now, if you'll just get this one truth here tonight, young people, everybody listen, if you'll get this one truth, you'll be amazed how much you can learn about your life. Sin does the same thing to your body as your soul, as fire does to your body. You listen? Sin does the same thing to your soul as fire does to your body. So God said, sin is like fire. Sin is like fire. You ever heard anybody say, you play with fire, you get burnt? Same thing. You play with sin, it'll get you. Nobody can play with sin and not get it. I read years ago about this man. He was at some kind of circus or something. I forgot what it was, but he was like a performer, and he had this big old snake. It's like a boa constrictor or something. And you know, they call them things constrictors. They call them because they'll constrict you. They'll, what them things do, they have the ability to wrap themselves around you, and then when you breathe out, they tighten up. When you breathe in, you can't because it's so tight. And you breathe out again, they tighten up a little bit more. And they just squeeze you, choke you to death. And that's the way they do their prey. And they said he'd mess around with that thing, and he'd show it off like that. And he had some big serpent, and he'd go out. And people were just amazed that he'd let that thing go around his arm like that. And he performed at the circus. And everybody thought, wow, how cool is that? Man, that man's got a snake wrapped around his arm. And sure enough, it happened one day. That thing, somebody pinched it or whatever, and that thing all shit and got him about right there. And he's laying just like a preacher up yonder in the mountains several months ago. He got it. Finally got it. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight, kids. You want it plain and simple? Sin will do you the same way. If it's drugs, if it's alcohol, if it's any kind of sexual sin, if it's gambling, if it's lying, if it's stealing, if it's murder, robbery, anything. Anything that's wrong is like playing with a snake. It will eventually get you. Bible said the wages of sin is death. And you know what? We've got a generation that think we're so cool and we're so smart, we don't have to pay attention to God's warnings anymore. We just do. We're smarter than God. We can figure it out. We can fool around a little bit. And God don't pay no attention. But the old book said, brother, wickedness burneth as a fire. And the Bible also said over there in the book of Proverbs, it said this, the Bible said in the book of Proverbs, can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can you walk upon hot coals and your feet not be burned? And the answer is what? No, you cannot. I believe all this stuff about people walking on hot coals is trying to prove the Bible wrong, and you can sin and get away with it. They do that in other countries. They do it in cults and stuff. They walk on these hot coals and they get down. The Bible said, can you walk on hot coals and your feet not be burned? No, you cannot. And you can't play with sin and get away with it. You cannot. You say, well, I just drink a little bit on the weekends, preacher. Yeah, that man just played with that snake just a little while, just a little bit. You say, well, preacher, I don't do like a lot of people, but about once a month I'll go party and I'll go do this or I'll do that. Yeah, that book said if you walk on hot coals, your feet's going to be burned. One of the biggest lies the devil ever told you is you've arrived now. You're mature enough. You can handle a little bit of sin. You can't handle that much sin. And I can't either. You can't. Nobody can. There ain't nobody so spiritual. Listen, there's bigger men in the Bible than me and you went down the tube. And the reason they did is because they thought that they could play with sin. I want to say a few things about it tonight. Give you just a little Bible lesson. Number one, listen to this. Fire and sin are mysterious. Fire and sin are mysterious. Fire under God's control pictures the Holy Spirit. out of God's control is a picture of sin. Fire and sin are mysterious. You know, fire is an unknown, unexplained cause of a sensation of heat. You can't hold it. You can't grab it. You can't weigh it. It doesn't have a shape. If somebody asks you, how much does fire weigh? Can't tell them. Somebody said, show me. You can't. Have you ever wondered who the first person that ever discovered fire was? I reckon it was Adam. I don't know. I mean, they lived 800-900 years back then. You can learn a lot in 800 years. And but these crazy scientists try to tell you that these cavemen was out there, you know, like hit one rock on another rock and it set the woods on fire or something. I believe God, I don't know who the first person was that discovered fire. But I tell you, they rub rocks together and learn how to hit a flint rock, something, and they set leaves on fire and it burned. But I guarantee you one thing, they were surprised. Can you imagine the first person had ever seen fire? What in the world is that? Little yellow things leaping up like that, and it goes up about that high, and then it just stops, and then it just keeps going up, and it's hot, and you can't touch it. That's mysterious. You can't see its shape. It changes shape. It's you don't even know what makes it burn. It's extremely mysterious to think about fire. You can't weigh it. You can't weigh fire. It don't have no weight. You can't hold it. You can't say, I'm going to grab this fire and run over here and show. You can grab something burning, but you can't grab the flame and hold it. It's mysterious. Now, sin is the same way. You can't touch it. You can't hear it. You can't smell it. You can't weigh it. But let me tell you, it's there. It's in you and it's in me. You can't touch sin. You can't hear sin. You can't smell sin. You can't weigh sin. But sin is real. You know, the scientists and the educators of our day and time try to tell us that there's no such thing as sin. That it's just an old-timey concept that crazy religious people had in the old-timey days. And they said, well, there's really no such thing as sin. But anybody with a brain knows better than that. You go around there and look at the people out there in starvation. You look at the people that are killing each other. You look at the cruelty in the world. You look how people do each other. You look at the broken hearts and the broken dreams. There's such a thing as sin. You can't see it. You can't weigh it. You can't touch it. But I'll tell you one thing. Sin is real. And sin has caused all your problems. Everybody in here, all your problems in your life, you can trace it back to sin somewhere. Either yours or your parents or somebody else's. Did you hear me tonight? Every problem you've ever had in this world, you can trace it back to somebody's sin. It was something you did, or your parents, or somebody else. And you say, well, I was just driving down the road and I wasn't doing nothing wrong, and a drunk person hit me. Who did we see the other night? I forgot who it was. Where was I? At the hospital somewhere. And a drunk had hit this woman. Oh, yeah. It was at that restaurant we was at the other day. Me and him. At that Mexican restaurant. We was over there. And mother, this woman come in and she could barely walk. Said a drunk lady hit her the next night. You say, well, she didn't do nothing wrong. I said, it's your sin, your parents' sin, or somebody else's sin. One thing about sin is, one person's sin can make a whole bunch of people suffer. Amen? That's right. I've heard people say, well, God didn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of homosexuality. And they said it couldn't have been that because look at all the innocent babies and mamas and old people that died. That's right. Innocent people always die when people sin. In the days of Noah, babies drowned. In the days of Noah, old people drowned. There, all them people wasn't drunks. All of them wasn't adulterers. I mean, probably there's some little bitty kids, 2 and 3 years old. They all drowned because of the sins of the world. Like right now, we're all suffering because of the sins of our nation. All of us are. I mean, gas is high because of sin. I mean, insurance is high because of sin. I mean, taxes are high because of sin. And I want to tell you something tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I may still be old-fashioned, and I may be old-timely. I'm telling you tonight, our nation tonight will not get away with the sinful life that we're promoting and condoning and ordaining our generation. Brother, our
entire generation in America is headed for the judgment of God, because sin will finally get you.
Fire and sin are mysterious. Let me tell you something else. Fire and sin are both attractive. Fire is attractive. Every kid and most adults are amazed and attracted to fire. People go for miles. I remember when I was 17 years old, I graduated high school when I was 17. I mean, I was the youngest person in my class. I was 16 in the 12th grade. So I was supposed to have another year to play basketball. And boy, I'm sort of glad I didn't now, because I got saved. My daddy sneaked me in the first grade when I was 5. We didn't go to kindergarten. You didn't have to think kindergarten's unnecessary, really. When they kicked God out in the 60s, you know what they done? It was 12 then, like the tribes of Israel. They made it 13 to represent rebellion. They have to go 13 years now because there's no God in it. And they come out knowing less. And you know what? I was a smart little fella when I was 5 years old. My teacher said I was. And you know what? I went to school, and I'll never forget, all the way through school. And we went to Clinchfield there when I was in first grade. Then we moved to Nebo. And every year, we would sit around in school and joke about school burning down. Every year. We'd say, boy, I wish this place would burn down. I hate this place. I wish somebody... And you know, you've heard kids, that's awful, but kids go around saying, my eyes have seen the glory of the burning of the school. You know, and some little song we sing. Like that. It was awful. But we sing that, and we wait all them years. And you know what? The year I graduated, the school burnt down. It really did. I got out. School burnt down that next, about a few months after I got out of school. When somebody called the house one morning, said, Danny Nebo School's on fire. And I said, really? I jumped in the car and drove down there to see it. Buddy, I'm telling you, we're standing from here, further to our sign, and you could feel the heat off of that. It was an amazing, I'd never seen nothing that big burn. Big old flame shooting up 40 and 50 feet in the air. And I mean, you're mesmerized. Have you ever noticed people go camping and stuff, and you just sit and stare at them? You're just sitting, you're just staring. It'll hypnotize you. I mean, how many of you ever just sit? Don't you like to sit and watch fireplace? We go to Gatlinburg in the fall. All them couples, they all fuss. I mean, somebody got it rigged this year like him. And Dale had one too, didn't you? You have a fireplace? We had rooms that looked like the no-tail motel. And they had fireplaces in their rooms. I don't know how that rigged up. But anyway, we was all over there. You just like to sit and watch that fire burn. Just sit and stare at it. You know what? It'll mesmerize you. It'll get your attention. I'm going to tell you tonight, sin is the same way. Sin's attractive. Sin's attractive. That's why TV is so popular. That's why people spend hours and hours and hours. Hours and hours on TV. You know what I told her today? I told her today, I said, you know what? I turned preaching on. I said, I listen to preaching all day. I listen to preaching all evening. And I said, I done asked her how she felt about that many times. I said, instead of having the TV on the news, let's turn some preaching on in your house. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. And keep, listen, you can just be brushing your teeth and going through the house getting dressed and getting ready. And the Word of God be going in your house. You don't have to have your TV on all the time. You don't have to know everything in the world that's going on, brother. Sin is attractive and fire is attractive. It attracts, it allures, finally blinds your vision, sears your conscience, and deadens your emotions. Let me say thirdly tonight, fire and sin destroys everything it touches. Fire and sin. Are you listening, teenagers? Destroys everything it touches. Sin will do to your life what fire will do to your body. Now, all of us have seen people, and there might be somebody in here, I don't know, and I don't mean this bad. But have you ever seen somebody that was burned really bad when they was young? And the scar, the face, neck. I've seen men... like we was at camp or something, boys, maybe take their shirt off or something and have just their back burned. Maybe where they fell. I heard about this one guy when he was young. He was in the kitchen and mama had hot boiling water on the stove. And somehow he reached up and pulled like that and that bowl of water come down. And I mean, had third degree burns all over. Them scars stay there. They stay with you the rest of your life. I got one. I got two. I got one right there somewhere. Oh, it's on this hand, I believe. Well, I came through the house one time when I was little and put my hand on the stove like that. And buddy, I jerked it off like that right there. I still got a scar right there to this day. I also got one right here. I ain't going to show you that one. It's right here, a little scar right here. I'm ashamed to tell you how I got a little burn place right there. And when I was little, I was about 6, 7 years old and was eating breakfast, and I come across the table to get something, and my belly hit the toaster. That's crazy, ain't it? And the toaster was on the table, and my belly, I didn't wear a shirt back in them days, and my little belly hit the toaster and burned my belly. And my family, they used to kid my mom, they said, I heard y'all was hungry and put Danny in the toaster and tried to toast him. But I still got a scar right there, a little scar. You know what? Sin's the same way. You know what? Listen, brother, you listen to me. Just like that fire scar your body, sin will scar your soul and your life. You kids, listen to me. I've heard people say, well, I can go at forgiveness. Yes, you can. God will forgive you, but the scar is still there. Sin will scar your life. All of us here tonight have scars from the sins of our past. They may not be visible. You never knew about that one if I hadn't told you. You may not can see it, but it's there. Your conscience has a scar. Your past has a scar. Your memory has a scar. You remember things that you've done, and they haunt you. And every time something bad happens, you think, if I'd have never done this, that wouldn't have happened. If I'd have never done that, this wouldn't have happened. I'm telling you tonight, kids, don't underestimate sin. It'll scar you. It'll scar you. It'll scar you. I don't think we have enough preaching in a lot of churches about what sin will do to a person. You don't hear it much anymore. This don't go over good in them mega churches. Don't go in on those feel good, everybody's great. You know what they tell you in most churches nowadays? You're wonderful. God is good. He wants you to be happy. I'm going to tell you what God wants. He wants you to be holy. If you get to be happy, that's an added bonus. He wants you to be right. If you sent me this text, don't get mad, because I appreciate it. I got texts all day, all week, yesterday, all day. I got texts from Maryland. I got texts from other states, Kentucky. I got texts from all over the country. Brother Danny, one man sent me a text, said, if anybody deserves to be happy, it's you. I sent one back to one lady and said, I deserve being hell. It's what I deserve. And you do too. We all deserve to be happy. If you get to be happy while you're serving God, shout. That's an extra benefit. Don't you take... Somebody sent me a text. Everybody deserves to be happy. You're crazy. You didn't read that in the Bible. Now, if you sent me that text, I don't have nobody in mind. I know you mean well, but that ain't what the Bible says. Bible don't say you deserve to be happy. Let me tell you what you deserve. You deserve to be in hell. You don't hear that in a feel-good church. It's the truth. Everybody in here tonight, our concern, our goal in life is not to be happy. Our goal in life is to be right. You do right. Do right! Bob Jones said, do right if the stars fall. No matter if you're happy or not, do the right thing. Because you know, sometimes the devil say, if you'll sin, you'll be happy. Being happy ain't the main goal, people. Being right is. If you'll serve God and do right, happiness sort of just comes on and gets on board with you, and you'll get to be happy. But if your goal in life is to be happy, you ain't going to be happy. And please, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. There's a bunch of you probably in here sent me that, and I have nobody in mind. I got it from everywhere, out of state. And I know what you mean, and I appreciate it. But the truth is, God wants us to be right. God wants us to be right. You think about the people on drugs. I was in Shelby at the detox place. Y'all didn't know that, did you? When I was preaching at Revival down there, and at the detox place where they keep you and get you dried out or cleaned out or whatever they do to you, if you get off alcohol or drugs, I went in there and sat down, and the guy that was running the thing sitting there, and I looked in the floor. There was a blanket, and there was a girl laying there on the floor. Looked like maybe 13, 14. Like she's dead, just laying there. And I asked him, I said, who's that? What's that? What's He said, I think he said she's 12, 13. I said, what's wrong? She's on drugs. He just said, she's on drugs. I said, why is she laying on the floor? She said, well, she's too young to be in here. She said, we can't take people that are 18. I said, what are you going to do with her? He said, well, just let her stay here while the police come and take her and do something with her. I thought that could be one of my girls. That could be, think about that being your kid. Laying in a detox in the floor. People just walking over, talking, hey, John, how are you? Oh, Bill, yeah, I'm all right. Look at a little kid laying there out of her mind. You know what that is? That's sin! Some drug dealer, some lowdown scum, want money, don't even want to work, wants to make money off these kids. Let me tell you young people something tonight. Anybody that will try to get you to take drugs, shoot drugs, snort drugs, drink drugs, however how you take them, anybody trying to, is not your friend. They are not cool. You don't need them. The devil sent them into your life. You say, well, Brother Danny, they're funny, and I like to be around them. They'll get you in more trouble than you can ever get out of. They'll wind you up in a place. Listen, sin, ain't a joke, buddy. It'll destroy everything in its path. Listen, you set this building on fire tonight, this is a metal building, and all of it wouldn't burn up. I'll tell you one thing, it would ruin it. You set this place on fire tonight, them pews would burn like paper. This up here would burn, all this varnish and shellac and stuff would burn, all of that. All of that section there would burn, the sheetrock, the wooden beams behind that, all the Sunday school classes. It would destroy this building. And drinking liquor and smoking pot and taking drugs and Percocets and Vicodins and Dilaudid or whatever it is, when you're not supposed to, will destroy your life. Like fire destroys this building. Sin destroys everything it touches. Number four, and I'm through. The only remedy for sin. The only remedy for sin is just like fire. You can't handle it. You can't handle it. I'm telling you. Fire get out of hand. Fire get out of control. Little bitty. One match can destroy an entire building. That's what one little sin can do. Is it grows and gets in your life. You know, we Christians, we don't take sin serious enough. We think, I'm more right than most people. I can dibble-dabble a little here and dibble-dabble a little bit here. No, it's like setting a little fire. It can catch on. It can catch. Catch your clothes on fire. I don't know if anybody of you have been burned real good. But I tell you, I've not, except for them two places. And I'm telling you something, but I've seen people that have. And it starts out with a little fire. Just a little bitty. You strike a match. You think, well, that's harmless. I can control that. And buddy, I'll tell you, you put that match right there. That paper burns. This thing here burns, then it goes onto this, then this platform, that wood right there would burn like paper. And that's the way your life is. Sin is like that, ruin your life. You know what? There's only one remedy for sin. There's only one remedy for fire. Put it out. Destroy it. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Oh, precious is the flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. You're born a sinner by nature. As soon as you get big enough, you become a sinner by choice. And you have to have the blood of Jesus to wash it away. I don't know why the Lord laid this message on my heart. It's been on my heart yesterday. A couple of days ago, it's been just steady in my heart. Maybe there's somebody here that's playing around with sin. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Sort of drinking a little bit on the weekends, or maybe you drink on Friday so it'll be out of you by Sunday and people at church won't smell it. Or maybe you're just taking a pill here and pill there that you don't really have to have. I'm telling you, you better leave them pills alone, people. I'm telling you. You get hooked just like that. You'll get, and bigger and better people than we are went down the tube. I'm scared. I remember when I hurt my knee playing ball, y'all remember a few years ago, and I had to have a knee surgery over yonder in Asheville. And they give me, I don't know what they give me, buddy, but I hated the way it, I couldn't think. I remember trying to pray and I couldn't pray. I was saying, "Dear Lord," and that's it. That's far. And I think there's something in drugs that cuts you off from God. I guess that's why people on drugs can't, the devil's got you, man. He's got you. I'm telling you, if you have to have medicine, that's one thing, and I ain't fussing, I might have to have it. If I have a kidney stone or something like that, you got to. But just as soon as you can, I believe you'd be better off to hurt a little bit and leave that stuff alone. Maybe there's somebody in here tonight. You're a woman. And that man's coming by at work every day. And he's saying, "You look nice. Boy, you look pretty today." Next day he comes in, "Wow, you're looking even better today." And you get to thinking, you almost start looking forward to him coming in. That's just a little strike, that little match. Little bitty thing. You think that couldn't hurt nothing. It'd burn your whole life up. Burn your whole life up. We all know people that it started out just like that. And now they're out of church. They've ruined their testimony. And their life's going downhill. Because they thought they could play with sin. If you're a man here tonight, and there's that little woman at church that you're, I mean, at church either, work that you're flirting with. It happens at church, you know that. Lots of times. And you're flirting with her. And you know it ain't right. But you keep saying little things and doing little things. And you even make comments to your wife. "Boy, man, his wife sure looks good. Her, that's a dumb thing to say, really. You don't get hit with a frying pan." but that, didn't you, brother? But people, if you start out, little bitty sin. Hey, man, she'll conk you with a baseball bat when you go to sleep. Like an old guy said one time, he had a real big husband, a little wife, something like that. And he said, "You can't hurt me." She said, "It's all right. You can't stay awake forever." You go to sleep, man. I'll come in there with a frying pan. Wham! But you know what? That little sin will get you. It don't take a big sin. You don't become a drug addict overnight. You don't become an alcoholic overnight. You don't have an affair. You ain't sitting in church right with God Sunday night and having an affair Monday morning. A little bitty fire starts and it'll burn your life. Just a little warning tonight how fire and sin. Next time the devil tries to tempt you to sin, just remember, it's like striking a match in your house. It can burn it up. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every head bowed.